This is the BritLit Podcast with dramatic readings and dialogues from British literature.
Hey Austin, what's going on? What are you doing this week?
Well, for British literature, we're supposed to do a podcast over soliloquies, but I just don't know.
Really? Have you really put some thought into that, Austin?
To soliloquy or not to soliloquy? That is the question.
That's my feelings towards that, Mr. Craig.
Wow. That was a beautiful dramatic introduction. If you could not gather, we are talking about soliloquies today.
Indeed we are.
Well, we've been working on Macbeth a little bit, and we thought, you know, we do some Shakespeare. You can't do Shakespeare without a soliloquy. So Austin's joining me here, the master soliloquizer.
Queezer.
Or something like that. Well, let's start us off, Austin. Tell us, what is a soliloquy? I'm sure all of our listeners are massive Shakespearean fans because they are actually spending the time to listen to a Brit Lit podcast. So they probably know, but give us, for those rookies out there that are cramming for their Shakespeare class, what is a soliloquy?
A basic definition of a soliloquy is similar to a monologue. It is different, but it's really just when a person or a character speaks to themselves and is trying to just share its thoughts and feelings of what's going on in the scene or play that they're in.
Well, if I'm a playwright, I'm an aspiring playwright, and I want to use a soliloquy, why might I use one? What purpose does it serve?
It serves a few purposes. One of the ones that it serves is to avoid using third person, yet still allow an important piece of information to be said without having an actual conversation with other characters from the play or movie.
Okay, so if you're trying to if you're trying to communicate a character's ideas or thoughts that they're doing, rather than saying he's thinking this third person. Okay, so when might you find a soliloquy in a play?
Well, it can be found in many different parts of the play, but it is mostly used when trying to either pick up the intensity of the scene or just share the character's feelings. It's found in many chick flicks where you can just find what the girl's feeling about, you know, her knight in shining armor.
Right. Well, and, you know, when you're reading a normal novel, you know, you don't necessarily need a soliloquy because the author can just write what the character's feelings are. But if you're in a drama, if you're in a play, it's not always easy on stage to communicate what a character is thinking. So we do that. Now, I'm going to kind of lead us in here to where we've been, but there is an author that is well known for soliloquies.
That's true.
That is?
His name's Shakespeare.
Interesting. So. Okay, so he uses soliloquies quite a bit, and we've seen him in Macbeth. What are some kind of fill us in? What were some of the main soliloquies we've seen?
Well, in Act 1, Scene 7, lines 1-29 of Macbeth, there's the beginning lines of "If it were done, when 'tis done," and that leads into a whole scene where Macbeth's speaking to himself and intensifies the scene. Mm-hmm. There's also another one that I believe we're going to talk about a little bit more in detail. Is this a dagger which I see before me? Mm-hmm. It's in Macbeth, scene 2.
Act 2,
scene 1, lines 33-61.
Right. And that's the one where he's kind of going crazy and he's determining to ultimately go through with it. That first one you mentioned, if it were done when 'tis done, at that point, if I recall, that's the soliloquy where he's first determining, you know, should I kill Duncan or not?
Right.
Am I going to be true to myself or not? And I think, were you going to perform that one for us?
Give
us
some
background. All right, well, here we are. Austin, the wonderful soliloquer. We're going to have to look that up. Soliloquizer.
Quasar.
Yeah, like if anybody out there could help us conjugate soliloquy into various parts of speech, that would be wonderful. Soliloquist, excellent, thank you. I may have to do some research here while you're performing. So I think for the meantime, we'll go with that. So here we are. We're going to do a little Macbeth soliloquy From Act 1, Scene 7, Macbeth is contemplating. This is really kind of the first major soliloquy, I think, of Macbeth.
It is.
And this is where we see his true inner thoughts. And should he go forth and kill? You know, he's kind of torn at this point. So, here we go. Macbeth, soliloquy.
If it were done when 'tis done, then 'twere well it were done quickly. If the assassination could trammel the consequence and catch with his surcease success, that but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all here. But here, upon his bank and shoal of time, we jump the life to come. But in these cases, we still have judgment here, that but teach bloody instruction, which being taught, return to plague the inventor. This even-handed justice commends the ingredients of our poisoned chalice to our own lips. He's here in double trust, first as I am his kinsman and his subjects, strong both against the deed, then as his host, who should against his murderer shut the door? Not bear the knife myself? Besides, this Duncan Hawthorne, his faculties so meek, hath been so clear in his great office, that his virtues will plead like angels trumpet-tongued against the deep damnation of his taking off, and pity like a naked newborn babe, striding the blast o' heaven's cherubim, horsed upon the sightless couriers of the air, shall blow the horrid deed in every eye, that tears shall drown the wind. I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only vaulting ambition, which o'erlaps itself and falls on the other.
Ah, excellent. Excellent soliloquist, Austin. So yeah, give us a little rundown here. What's his problem here? It feels like he's going back and forth in this soliloquy.
He is. It's like a modern day cartoon where you see the angel and the devil on each shoulder. He keeps thinking of the good and bad.
Yeah, what's he torn between here?
Well, he doesn't know if it's going to be worth it to kill...
To kill Duncan here?
Yeah.
So he's got... There's two sides here. He's either, you know, if he can be the angel and be the loyal follower, or...
Or he can go evil and... Get greedy.
Which we've all become fond of Macbeth and his kind of fall down the rabbit hole into utter despair and evil. Now this is his Macbeth, and this is a great opportunity in a soliloquy to kind of see his, but Shakespeare does it a little bit more. You did a little bit of research. You found quite a few soliloquies throughout Shakespeare.
Yeah, he's done a few in Hamlet, I'm sure Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
A taste of the ones in Hamlet are the very famous "To be or not to be, that is the question."
Okay.
That's in Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
As well as "'Tis now the very witching time of night."
Right.
That's also in Hamlet. There's many more.
Cool. Yeah, and we talked about some of those famous ones. The "Is this a dagger I see before me?" And, you know, Macbeth is going crazy. And now, of course, Shakespeare does this, but we've been talking about this a little bit. You did a little bit of research, and it's a common element that playwrights use. Is that
right? Even in today's society, there's many shows and, like I said, chick flicks that just have many soliloquies that you can find.
For example,
The modern day Disney Channel show Lizzie McGuire.
Ah, yours and my favorite. Right,
right, right. Lizzie. Every time she's thinking something, the show basically freezes and shows her either just thinking aloud or a cartoon character, just thinking about the circumstances of what's going on.
That's just an interesting way that the director can use to kind of give insight to the audience about what they're thinking. Very nice. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up. That gives all of you out there about to take a test on soliloquies, you should ace it now.
It does.
You've got insight. So thank you, Austin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Craig.
And
if that didn't answer y'all's question, then
soliloquies are to be.
Excellent. Listen next time for more from the BritLit podcast. Leave us a comment or check us out on iTunes. Just do a little search for BritLit. Until next time.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to the BritLit podcast, a production of Mr. Craig's 12th grade British literature class in Grapevine, Texas. Check us out on iTunes or leave a comment at the website at BritLit.podomatic.com. Listen in next time for more dramatic readings and dialogues.